The life of a call girl undoubtedly seems an attractive mystery to the public at large, informed by lurid novels and occasional newspaper headlines. Her earnings are thought to be astronomical, her life one of glamour and ease. How does the call girl get started? What is her day-to-day experience? What rewards do her profession offer her? This report attempts to examine some of these questions. In the vernacular of the prostitute, entering the profession is known as being turned out.
I turned myself out to get out of this damn town. That was about 7 years ago. And I told my roommate I needed money to buy a ticket. And she said, well, I know a guy that'll give you your ticket. She didn't mention what I'd have to do in return. I was so naive, I didn't even ask. Well, he was an actor, a big name, and I went to his house, and I was shaking like a leaf because, well, I loved him on the screen, and I thought, oh, I was young, and he was a big deal, you know. And he was going to give me my ticket back home. So, well, I get to his house, and he's playing cards, and he's got some other girls out there, and they're talking about turning tricks, and I thought, what was that? I'd never heard that expression before, and, well, I didn't want to act like I was an idiot, but I didn't know, so... Finally, I got the picture. Well, the guy started leaving, going into the bedrooms with the girls, and so he says to me, and well, it's about 1 o'clock now, he said, well, you're going to spend the night, so just relax, and I'll tell the others they can leave. Well, I wasn't used to drinking, and I'd had about 3 drinks, so I was practically passing out, and I didn't care about anything. So then everybody leaves the room, and this guy makes a pass at me, a real pass, and I screamed, and he got mad, and he said, you're going to get your ticket back. I want you to go back. You're too naive for this town. What are you doing out here anyhow? He told me to go home with your mother. In a couple of years, you'll be old enough to come out here, but right now, you're going to be caught for being out after curfew. So then I started to get scared because he was mad at me. So he says, listen, you go in that room and take your clothes off. And well, I went in the room, and there was another girl there, and she says, get your clothes off and go back in there. There were all these big towels hanging in there. You know, I said, can I put this around me? And she says, no, go on in there. I said, I can't. I was petrified. I thought, just let me wire my mother so I can get out of here. So I said, I couldn't do that. I've never done it. She says, come on. And she shoved me into the room. So he says, well, you better go on upstairs to my room. I'll show you where it is and come on. And he said to her, you stay down here. So he takes me upstairs, and he knows I'm scared, and he says, go to bed. Then he went downstairs and stayed with her for a while. And he came back and spent the night with him, and we had sex 2 or 3 times that evening. And actually, I'd had sex before, but never with a man that old. And I never did leave. I never went home. I got the money for the ticket, but I never went home.
I had been in this country 6 or 7 months. I didn't make a dime and I didn't try to work. I was studying acting. I was broke, but I knew some people and I had room and board for free. They helped me out a little bit and I went to school in the day and goofed around a little bit, you know. And I took a little modeling job here and there. Not much. You can't live on that. It's too little. And I am too tall to be able to do anything, really. Acting deals and things. Most guys are too short. I never intended to be a big actress anyway. To be a big star or anything. I had a language barrier that I had to overcome to be able to do anything. And even if I did overcome this, I'm very limited because of my height. When it comes to pictures, there are so many girls anyway. So why should I try? So I needed money all of a sudden. Actually, I was spending a lot of time doing social work, when you think of it. I mean, not charging money. I knew there were a lot of married guys who wanted to pay to have an affair with a girl so they wouldn't be obligated. A friend offered to introduce me to some of these men. It was repulsive the first time, but I just cut out everything that had to do with feeling.
I lived with one guy for 2.5 years. I didn't have anyone else. I would have been a damn fool to. He was loaded and I had everything I needed. Mm-hmm. But then I came down here, and I decided I was going to be really square. So I went to work. But after having money, you just can't go to work. It kills you. You get your paycheck at the end of the week, and you look at it, and you say, damn it. I worked all week for $60, less than I could make in a day. So now I'm really hustling. I've only been at it a few weeks, but I've managed to save quite a bit of money already. I'm pretty careful, and I don't expect to get busted by vice. I only take customers through people who know them, all about them. Only the greedy girls get arrested.
I was working as a hostess in a restaurant in Detroit. Maitre d' came up to me once and asked me if I'd be interested in entertaining one of his customers.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of scared and didn't really do it, but so I says, okay, for $100. So he says, okay. So I had to stay with the guy all night. And after that, why, the bartender got me a lot of jobs. Even though I was picking up $100, I still kept my job as a waitress.
Some call girls make their profession seem like light, pleasant work.
I don't have to punch a time clock. I don't have to work 8 hours a day. I'm lazy. That's why I'm selling myself. I never have liked work ever since I was a kid, during the Depression days. Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not happier making the money I make now rather than the money I made when I was legit, but as long as I'm working, I figure I might as well make as much money as I can.
But all call girls have at least this one important problem.
Every time a new guy calls, we worry he's a cop. I've only been busted once, but I'll never forget it. I've been in the business about 6 months, and I met this girl. And she says, come to my place. I can make you $50 every afternoon. I said, wow, this is fabulous. She was a madam, and she wanted me to make tricks. So I went over to her place and turned three there, right in the afternoon. And I did get 50. That went on for about 3 days. Well, she called me one night to come over. She said there would never be any nighttime business because her husband is home at night and she don't conduct anything. She said the trick would take 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets her husband out of the house and she says to me, start getting undressed so when they come we can get them out right away. So I says, okay. I kept my dress on. You know, it's kind of one of those sack dresses, loose cut. So when you take the belt off, it just hung down. And I took my underwear off, and I was standing there, and these five guys come in. So she pulls one guy aside. She says to him, what goes? So he says, these are my friends. We want you both. Just like that. I had just started to unhook this thing in back and take off my belt, and this guy comes over and pushes me down on the bed. I thought, oh, my God, he's drunk or something. And I started getting a little perturbed, and I'm looking over at her, and she's hiding in the corner against the wall and giving signals to me. So I'm trying to pull my dress up, and she's still making signals to me, and I don't know what's happening. She was trying to tell me it was the vice squad. I had this long, long hair, and I looked about 16, and the guy takes my hair like this and says, come here, you're going to juvenile tonight. I didn't know what anything meant. And I didn't know what was going on, so I spit in his eye. I said, don't pull my hair. And with that, he says, okay, come on. He says, do you know what's happening to you? You're being arrested. I said, for what? He said, for what? So he says to her, tell her for what? She says, don't say anything. He had placed the marked money on the table, you know. So I said, you had nothing against me. You got no case. But they took me down to jail, and I stayed there for days, it seemed. All this happened 4 days before Christmas. I spent Christmas there. They didn't let me out of their sight. This one cop, the guy whose eye I spit in, really had it in for me. He really gave me a rough time downtown. He couldn't forget that I spit in his eye. All night he talked about it like he had it in for me, and he hoped that I got convicted. Well, he got his wish. The judge found me guilty. The cops proved the case when they left the money on the dining room table. And I took the belt off just as much as to say, let's go. They proved it then, and there were four others who were watching.
To the call girl, the client is known as a John. A call girl rarely lets a John call her directly. She's learned to avoid the authorities by having all her calls come through a telephone answering service. She keeps a list of clients known as a John book. When a client calls for a date, his name is checked against the book. If he's in the book, the call girl knows he's safe. If he says he's been recommended by someone whose name is in the book, he might also be safe. But if his name isn't in the book, he probably won't have his call returned. Her John book is one of the call girl's most valuable possessions. The names in it are worth money to her and to other call girls.
A girl's John book is worth at least a couple of $1,000s and sometimes a lot more. It's worth it even if you can get only a couple of good guys out of it. Let's say I have a pretty good number. I mean, a phone number of a guy who doesn't want me anymore. Well, he's going to move on to somebody else, and he's worth plenty of cash to whoever gets him.
A girl's John book is subject to theft by other call girls. To forestall this, or at least to punish the offender, a clever girl always pads her book. That is, she includes the names of several vice officers. Anyone trying to make contact with one of them will land in immediate trouble. The extent to which the John book is symbolic of the call girl's entire way of life is illustrated by this girl's reaction to its loss, even though she thought she had no further use for it.
I wanted to quit. I burned my John book and my bank account with it because I wanted to be so pure. I even went out to the incinerator and put my New York book and my Hollywood book together and threw them both in. And as I watched it burn, I almost fainted. I almost had a heart attack. At the time, I didn't think I'd ever be a call girl again, but 4 months later, I was back at it. I never let anybody see my John book, but I think somebody did copy it one time. Several Johns told me that some girl was calling, mentioning my name.
Call girls assembled their list of Johns in a variety of ways. Some of them frequent the more exclusive bars and restaurants. It's easy for an attractive, unaccompanied girl to catch the attention of a man on the loose. When she's convinced he's not a vice officer, she'll proposition him. Occasionally, a girl with nothing else to do will permit herself to be picked up and seduced as a speculative business venture.
One night I was in this nightclub with a friend, gay friend of mine, and he pointed to this guy at the bar, and he said, "That's the guy who owns the place." So I had nothing else to do, and, well, since I knew it wasn't Fuzz, and I figured his place was doing pretty good, I thought I'd see if I could hustle him a little. Well, I went over there and, you know, struck up a conversation, and he seemed pretty impressed, so one thing led to another, and anyhow, it ended up with him saying, "How about coming over to my place later and listening to my hi-fi?" So, well, he was pretty corny. Naturally, we ended up spending the night together, and in the morning he drove me back to town and said he had a big business deal and would I mind taking the cab the rest of the way home. Well, this was fine with me, and he handed me a 5-spot, and I said, this is fine for cab fare, but how about 50 for myself? And he just looked at me, and I said, "Well, I'm not in this business for my health." And he acted pretty surprised and, you know, got kind of shook up. He said he had no idea I was going to want money, and why didn't I tell him in the first place? And I said, "Honey, don't you think I was worth 50? I said, "You're a big businessman," but it was no sale, and I think his feelings kind of got hurt, you know. So I said to him, okay, thanks for a great evening, got out of the car. There was one time I didn't make out, but lots of guys you pick up that way will come across with some loot.
As in any business, getting new customers is only part of the sales job. Keeping the old ones buying is just as difficult, just as demanding.
Hello, dear. How are you there? What you been up to? Oh, usual things. I mean, you know. Listen, honey. See, I thought you'd help out a friend. Oh, honey, that's all right. Nothing. I'm just having a little drink. You are? Well, why don't you invite me over for a drink? You know I can get you in the mood, baby. Well, I am, and my rent's going to be due Monday. That's not nasty, baby. I do care about you, and I would like you to be in the mood. Well, I can't be in love with you yet. Come on, baby. Don't you want to see me? You came to my rescue the last time. You know I don't. All right, I'm only asking. You know what I was thinking? Next time I'm going to bring somebody with me, and we're going to have two for one. No, really, baby, she's a doll. Hey, I got a great idea. I've got a book with me I could bring over. You'll flip when you see this book. This one will paint a picture for you. Well, we can put music in the background. Oh, all right, baby. I won't hang you on the phone any longer. I just thought you wanted company. I'm really very nice when you get to know me. What do you mean if I get something? Aren't I enough? Well, what do I have to do? Put you in the mood? I am not blowing my stack, really. I'm smiling every minute I'm talking to you. I got all kinds of goodies. Ideas, you know. But I'm not going to tell you over the phone. You either want to see me or you don't want to see me. All right, all right. If I think of something, I'll call you back. All right, bye.